Hi, everybody. Welcome. We are finally in the actual final season, season 6B, episode 1. Hi, Nana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I can't believe it.
Yes. It's so weird. Even when I like hit play on today's episode, I was just like, oh, wow, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
A long way.
Everything. Yeah, before we get into the episode, just want to say thank you. We got a few kind words, like, over the break. And we're just really appreciative. Thank you for listening. We just started this out of fun, and we didn't even think anyone would be listening. But for people to actually listen, enjoy it, ask us when we're coming back, and leave comments, it's really nice. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. We definitely don't take it for granted.
Yeah. All right. So the episode is called Let There Be Light, which I'm very surprised. With the amount of times they mentioned fast fuck, I thought it would be that instead.
Before you say, you know, I didn't know what the title was until almost like nearer the end, because I went to go look, and like I paused it to see, because I kept hearing them say light, light, light. So that's what I heard. And I was like, what do they keep going on about light and dark, light and dark? I wonder what the title's called. And then I was like, okay.
That was a good one, because you know how once they stick to a title, everything has to play into that title. So
yep.
That was good on you for making that connection. Okay, so the summary of this episode is Carrie is just starting out her love affair with Alexander Petrovsky. Charlotte is lost in life. I feel like that's not new. Samantha is tired of Smith, and Miranda is trying to get over, is trying to navigate her new life with Steve and the breakup with Robert, who I forgot was still in the picture. I thought they'd just make him go away, but no.
Yeah, but do you live in the same building?
It's Miranda. They were not going to make that magically disappear. I mean, when it was Carrie and the man actually built her building, he disappeared. But yeah. Okay, so Carrie voices over that a single gal spends most of her life searching for the perfect male. And she says this and I'm like, huh? And then the camera pans to her going through her mail. And I'm like, English is hard because mail and mail. And if you don't listen carefully, you don't know which is which. So she's looking through her mail and she picks out the one from Alexander, and it's an actual penned letter asking if she wanted to go for a walk, and it had his phone number in there. I know this was like 20 years ago, but I thought that was really cute
in the process
of wooing a woman.
Yeah. I feel like even 20 years ago, that was unusual. I mean, people had cell phones. So. Yeah.
That was cute. So they give us a refresher, because Carrie tells us that Alexander Petrovsky was a rather famous artist who she'd had an infamous date with. We see them walking in the park, and she said, it's been 3 weeks, I thought you died. And he said, yes, I did, from rejection. Because apparently last season, it didn't seem like a rejection to me. They were, because I watched like a little bit of the episode before this, and he tried to kiss her or something, and they did kiss. She just didn't let him come up. It's the first date. It's not that bad, I thought.
Yeah.
So, dying from rejection, dramatic much.
Man.
So, he tells her that he was in Holland for work and that he brought her a present. He offers her like a milk chocolate and he says, or do you want dark? I would like to point out, guys, these are not like wrapped chocolates in a box. It's bags in the pockets of his coat.
You know what? When I was watching it, I could have bet everything I own on the fact that you'd have a comment about this. I knew it. I was like, she's gonna have something to say about this.
Like, you're not gonna give me chocolate for your musty ass coat. Like, I don't know how long it's been there.
They weren't even sealed. And I'm just like, what? So you went to the Netherlands and you came back. They look like those little baggies you get from, I never, you know, like when you're in New York and those people are like grilling peanuts or like, you know, that's what they look like. And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. And then he didn't spill in his coat. And then for the dark chocolate, he was making her fish for it Get in the pocket. No thanks. And then he's like light or dark, and then Carrie makes her cutesy joke, like, oh, is there a mouse trap in there? And he's looking at her blank stare. He didn't get it. I was filled with glee.
I love it, by the way. Every time they make her, him like not get her dumb jokes, I live for it.
And then he just randomly starts kissing her neck, and then that leads to a kiss. And I don't know if that was supposed to be hot, but I found it creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to get the chemistry with her, with anyone. But yeah, sometimes, I don't know, he has this way of staring at her, which again, I don't know if it's supposed to be cute or creepy. And sometimes it veers a little on the creepy side, I can't lie.
I feel like he does everything that maybe if it was someone else, it might be hot.
Yeah. But
the needle is going towards creepy for me.
Yeah.
It's a little intense. So fair. It's daytime in the park. And then they made this, they made a point of kids running around. It was very loud.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that there are kids in the park. So the next thing we see is Carrie says, second only to the search for the perfect meal is the search for the perfect fragrance. And I'm like, this is right up Nana's alley.
It's funny because I was trying to figure out what store they were supposed to be in, but it was so long ago. But yeah. I did think the descriptions of the fragrances we were talking about, I'm like, this is so supposed to be like Jo Malone. Those are so Jo Malone type fragrance names.
that's true. Yeah. I was thinking they were the kinds where you make your own. Like, yeah. I was like, there's no, it's not like the, you go to Macy's and they have the designer fragrances. There's like peppermint musk.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear something. I'm like, this sounds like body mist. Like your Bath and Body Works miss.
Yeah.
So we see the ladies smelling scents as Carrie announces that she's taking a lover. I don't know how many people banged their head on the wall, but it was a long scene of lover. So, and then Miranda's first reaction is, wait, the old guy? And I'm like,
she's rude.
She's rude, but I'm surprised, like, no one else has said anything. Like, I just feel like it's not an elephant in the room, but it's just like no one said anything about it. And then Carrie says, my lover is not old. He's worldly and wild and very sexy. And Charlotte is like, yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I guess. Like, I nothing about him reads sex. Like, I'm always very, I always wonder about the casting of this because it seems very pointed and intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, and we know that sexy on this show, boy, is a reach and a stretch.
Yeah.
But
my
this
thing is, they were calling him old. Isn't Carrie, how old is she now? 38?
Yeah.
And she said he's 50. So where's he old? She ain't so young then, either.
So then let me ask you, would you date a 55? He was 55. I didn't think he was 50.
I thought she said 50. I don't think she said 55.
Because Miranda later down, she says he looks 60, and she goes, no, he's a very fine 50 whatever. So I thought it was 55. Okay, so even at 50, what would be your, would you date a 50-year-old at that age?
Probably, actually, yeah. Because that's what, a 12-year difference. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not a, I try not to put restrictions like that or whatever, but, and I know, like, we get to that age where you say, oh, that person's old, and you're like, well, your age bracket has moved now, and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think it's the discrepancy, but I also think it depends what you're looking for, I guess, if you're looking for a lover.
You're so annoying.
I'm going to say it. I'm committing. I don't know. And if you're looking for a life partner / husband or father of your kids, I don't know. I didn't think about this. But I think I understood. I think in my mind, I was thinking 55, and I'm like, I don't know. about that. Yeah. But yeah. So
it's also says, say that they ain't young either, so they need to get a grip. So yeah. He's Samantha's age mate, let's be serious.
Is Samantha 50 at this point? She's like 45.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, they're not the same. I won't put them in the same age group.
Okay. Keep lying to yourself.
So Carrie says she almost did it with him on a park bench in front of children. And Samantha's like, what stopped you? And she's like, common decency. And Samantha's like, oh yeah, that. And she goes, that and the fact that she's not lover ready. She needs a wax. So Miranda's like, what do you mean he's not old? Like, she comes back. He looks 60. That she saw her picture that Charlotte sent to her. And Samantha says that's a good age. They've been around the block and they know how to use their cock. And then Carrie asks, how did you get a picture? And Charlotte is like, she Googled him to see her potential new boyfriend. And she's like, she's not my boyfriend. He's going to be a lover, which is funny because Carrie is completely a boyfriend kind of girl. Like, I mean, don't lie to yourself about who you are.
Yep, she really is. She's not a casual fling girl.
No.
Even though I guess we've seen her have casual flings, but I mean, I guess this episode is true to type. She always tries to make them into something more. So,
but who did she have casual? Refresh my memory.
The guy. Because when I was watching, I feel like she's had quite a few. The guy with the disgusting house. The one who was living with his roommate. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, the young boy.
Yes, and who was the one she was with when Alanis Morissette showed up?
Yeah, I was trying to remember examples when I watched it. But for that, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it like she didn't plan on it?
No.
Right? It was just that night and they were having fun, but I don't even think she expected to go to his house.
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like we've seen her have like people who only last like one episode or two. So in my head, that's like casual, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she always ends up not dating them because of something. But I feel like she would try to make them into more.
But usually they mention like, oh, they've been on a couple of dates. We just didn't see any of the other dates. But yeah, to be honest, I was trying to like remember like, but has she? Because I was like, I threw the accusation real quick and I was like, but maybe my memory is just failing me on that. So, and also funny how times change. Like it's such a shock that they Googled and found the picture. Right now, you could pick up that picture, their age, their income in 5 seconds flat right now.
Yep.
So Carrie says it's only going to Loverville. And Charlotte says she can see it going somewhere else. And Carrie says, no, half the time I don't even understand what he's saying. I'm like, that's so rude.
Anyway, don't get me started on that.
She's like, they have nothing in common and he's in and out of Europe all the time. And then they suddenly just switched to Miranda and they start teasing her about Steve. And Charlotte asks if she isn't getting anything for her lover. And then she's like, no, he already likes the way I smell. So Miranda and Steve get into an elevator and Steve asks, how lucky are we? And they kiss. And then Robert walks into the elevator with a scowl. And I'm like, oh shit, this man is still here. Like, I'm proud of them for not writing him off, but I shouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
And Miranda says, hi. And he says, oh, look, it's the happy couple. And then they keep trying to make convo. Steve is like, how are you? And I'm like, guys, I just shut up. Sit in the silence, let him get out and let it be what it is. Like, I'm not trying to say hi.
I would have done the same thing. I'd have stood there in absolute silence. I'd have done, you know that. I'm going to cut this bit out, maybe. But you know that smile white people give you when you walk past them?
Yeah.
And then they hold their bag a little closer.
Yeah, you just purse your lips.
Yep. And just turn it down a bit. Yeah, that's the smile I would have given him. But anyway, yeah, so please continue.
Yeah, his back was towards them, so I don't even know why they were even trying. Like, there's no explanation to what happened. No. So just sit in your wrongness and let it be.
Exactly.
So Charlotte just telling Anthony, every time I see this guy, I roll my eyes. And then they're walking in the park and that they have to wait 2 months before she gets pregnant again. And she has to work, but she doesn't want to tell work that she's going to get pregnant, that she feels bad. And she's going on and on. And this idiot is like, I'm bored. And I'll pay you $100 to say something bitchy about someone they know. And listen, I know Charlotte goes on and on about stuff, but that's your friend and it's actually like serious stuff. And I was just like, that's so rude. And it made me wonder, like, wait, how are these two friends?
Yeah. I actually had the same thought when I saw, and I was like, wow, Anthony's in it a lot more than either I remembered or thought.
Yeah.
But, and they don't have like substantial conversations about anything. Nope. But there are some friends that are like for those. But maybe it's also Charlotte's mistake for expecting depth from Anthony. So sometimes you have to know the level of your friends. Sorry.
That's true. So Charlotte says, I think it's like the beginning of fall and there's sunlight and all that. And then they see a lady that's blind and someone that's guiding them. And Charlotte was like, she feels so grateful and she needs to stop thinking about herself and maybe volunteer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we see Carrie at her wax appointment with her leg up. I think we've talked about this before, like the different ways or positions to be in when you get a wax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that was like, a weird position though, because Shirley had one leg up straight up in the air, and I was like, how do they work for you like that? But okay, sure.
Exactly. I'm like, very interesting. But I think it was also back then, I think she was, and I think TV also, they add that sound effect for the strip. It's like, like, oh my god, it's so much. Yeah. But yeah, come a long way from the strips though. She asked the lady, are you Russian? And she says, yes. And she asked her how to say hello and how to say thank you. And I'm like, oh, okay, you understand her? Asshole.
Mm-mm.
So Miranda is trying to avoid Robert and she's using the stairs so she doesn't run into him in the elevator. And I'm like, could not be me, especially since I'm wearing heels to go to work. I'm not climbing no stairs. Because I'm avoiding somebody, I pay my condo fees, I will be using the elevator. If you don't like it, you move.
And I know it's like Sod's Law that the person you're trying to avoid is the one you're going to see. But realistically, how many times is she going to run into him in the elevator? You know?
Yep.
Before he joined the party, how many times was she running into him? You know? Like, come on.
To be fair, that is how they met and how they kept running into each other in the elevator.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Maybe they have similar schedules.
So, unfortunately, she runs into him in the stairs because he had the same idea. And then he walks by her. He ignores her. Miranda, keep on walking. Stop trying to make conversation. She stops him and says that she's sorry, that she just fell back in love. I'm like, oof, stop.
He's making it all worse.
Stop. And Robert asks, like, so was I your halftime show? She's like, no, like, I didn't plan this. And then Robert says, I hope you understand when I send you a bill for a stud fee, that he gets it. You're a single mother, too tired to eat, you call Hunan Kitchen. Too tired to go out and fuck, you just call me. I'm like, that's rude. And she stood there and was taking it. I think I would have walked off because he was getting disrespectful at this point. Then she's like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I don't know if you wanted to finish the scene.
Yeah. Then she's like, that's not true. You are not a fast fuck. He's like, that is true. I was nice and slow, just the way you like it. And then he starts to moan like her. He's like, yeah, saying no man has ever been in this deep. I'm like, is this even real?
That part was so uncomfortable. But I'm going to disagree with you. Yes, he was disrespectful with what he was saying before with the stud fee, but I don't think he was wrong at all. Nope. Sorry, I was on his side.
Yeah,
Sex and the City, the way they've presented black men and the very few black men they've had on the show is exactly like that. I feel like he was hitting every nail on the head. Like, apart from the whole mimicking her, I don't think he said anything wrong.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, can you expand, like, how have they presented them?
Like, I'm just, well, how many black men have we had, really and truly? Him and then the one that Samantha dated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think that's it, really and truly. In all six seasons of the show, two black men. You know?
Yeah.
That tells a story there. And I do, yeah, I am with him because it did, like he said, he was convenient there in her building, hot, attractive doctor, he's black, and he was there when you need him. And she did cheat on him at her child's birthday party in front of everyone. So I don't feel sorry for her at all. I just feel like these are the consequences when you do shitty things. She's not a shitty person, but she did a shitty thing. And the other person is not obliged to be kind to you. So, yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair. But I think, like, they've all cheated in some way or the other with someone. So I don't think it's like...
And it wasn't right then either. It was the same way I don't feel sorry for Carrie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for her either.
Okay. Yeah. I just thought it wasn't going to change anything. So I don't know what being
it's
that...
It's not going to change anything, but he had things to get off his chest. He could be as nasty as he wants to be. He's the wrong party. I just feel like you're when people do shitty things to people and then they want to regulate your behavior. Or like, oh, be the bigger person. Oh, you don't. No, they don't have to be. It's nice if they do, but they don't owe you anything.
I don't think he needs to be the bigger person, but I just think, like, for her, I just don't understand why she wants to talk. Yeah. You said sorry, just keep it moving. If he's not talking to you the first time, just keep going and don't try to create a conversation.
She wouldn't have had to listen to any of that if she'd kept it pushing. But you wanted to absolve your guilt, which is all it was. Because all this, oh, let me explain, it is 100% because you want to feel less guilty. And that's what you got. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she walks into their apartment and Steve is like, that was quick. And she was like, I gave Robert custody of the elevator. Which I don't know if this was an error because we saw Miranda going downstairs. So unless they have a garage and she walked from downstairs, I just assumed she would be going upstairs. I thought she was leaving.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point. Because he was going up and she was going down. Huh?
Yeah, I thought she was leaving for work. So, and Steve asks, how bad was it? And she goes, hug me. So she's like, why did I have to shit where I eat? Steve is like, it's fine. And Miranda's like, I'm not sure it's fine. Like, he's crazy in love with me. And he's saying that no man has ever been that deep. I'm like, why? Why are you saying this? And Steve freezes. And she's like, what's wrong? He's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then she just pulls him in for another hug.
Oh,
so it's Wednesday night. And we hear Carrie saying she took the express elevator to Loverville. A.K.A. Alexandra's place.
You're banned from saying that word.
Watch me work.
Oh, my God.
And the man has the entire floor. Like, the one apartment is his studio. The other one is his actual apartment. They start making out at the door. And she walks in. And he gives her a tour of his place. They have this weird music playing, which I don't know if you noticed. That bugged me the entire episode. Every time they were together. It's not like old school porn music, but it's like this weird cheap, like you picked music from a library, like maybe filmmakers pick a song, and they played it every time they were together, the entire episode, and it just bugged the hell out of me.
Well, I didn't notice at all.
Yeah, it really bugged me because we're not used to music on Sex and the City at all. So I'm just like, why are we adding music in the final season? Like, what is this? So Carrie is forward and she says, why don't you show me upstairs? We see him undress her, and they do the Carrie makeout, lots of heads bobbing, and then he starts kissing her back, and I was going to ask you if you noticed, like, when he lay flat on the bed, like, flat horizontal, just to kiss her back, and she sat there just holding his leg, again, that was weird and creepy to me.
It was such a weird angle. That's all I was thinking. I was like... Why is this old man contorting himself?
Taking a nap while kissing her back? Like, why are you not holding her shoulders? Kissing the length of her back? No, you went flat. And then kissed, like, and then it's like, Carrie didn't know what to do. And then she's just grabbing his knee. I'm like, very odd. Very, very odd. So she wakes up the next day to a note by his pillow saying that he's making breakfast. She walks downstairs in like an oversized tee in her underwear. And they're just three people in his house just speaking what I assumed was Russian. And oh, it might have been French because one of them was
speaking French. The woman was definitely speaking French. And yeah. I think the other two were speaking different languages.
Okay. Yeah. So there were all just a lot of buzz, and he was making pancakes. And Carrie just randomly is like, in the light of day, everything looks completely different. I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, sunshine versus light, but okay, Carrie. And he's making her breakfast, and then he offers her coffee. Which kind? She's like, regular. He's like, you're not regular. I'm like, she kind of is. But he gives her breakfast and says he's not eating because he's headed to Amsterdam. So the next thing we see is Carrie talking to Samantha, and she's like, and she's telling her how all his employees were unfazed by her just walking out. And Samantha's like, that's impressive that he made pancakes for pussy. He gives her a look, and Samantha's like, what? You don't think he's the first? You don't think you're the first one that he battered up for? And then Carrie's like, you're right. Everything was so choreographed and blah, blah, blah. But for all the things I think of Alexandra, I did not think that was choreographed.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, I didn't get that vibe from him at all.
I do think this is where I realized that Samantha is pessimistic. Like, first of all, she's the worst to go to for advice. Like, she always either goes extreme, and she's always like, oh, please, it can't be real. It can't be anything. And I'm like, she is kind of pessimistic. So, yeah. I mean, she's not. I mean, it's valid. She had more life experience. But
yeah, she's going through her own shit. That's why sometimes we have to know when people are projecting. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, she says, at least he has she likes a man that has moves. And then Carrie's like, does Smith not have moves? She was like, yeah, he does have the moves, most of which I gave him. She has a new haircut, and I think the bangs look great on her.
They do.
Yeah. So she says that, no, she's jealous. And Carrie's like, jealous of what? And she's like, a man that she's dating, an actual man, an actual power player who takes charge. That Smith is hot, but he's a baby. And Samantha says she doesn't know whether she wants to blow him or burp him. And well, okay, I'll say this after. Then she asks Carrie, so how were they? And she thinks she's talking about the pancakes, and she's like, they were delicious, she couldn't get enough of them. And she goes, no, she means the sex. And Carrie was like, the moves were delicious, and she couldn't get enough of them. And she's like, good for you. I just thought, okay, I guess it's allowed. I don't know. I always hesitate to say all these arbitrary rules people say. I just thought it was a little unfair for Samantha to suddenly say this about Smith, because she's saying like he's a baby, and it just means she's irritated, or she's just, you know, irritated with him at the moment. But Smith is someone who is very headstrong about things that he wants. Yes, he's a young guy. Yes, it can be immature, but that's not to say that she couldn't be with a 45-year-old who wasn't doing that. And I just think it was a little of an exaggeration, because for all that is Smith, we've always said that Smith is a little, like, mature for his age.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to just throw in the storyline of suddenly, like, he's a baby, I think they should have expanded more on just the age difference is showing up. But in what way, I don't. Maybe she's used to dating like power players, not someone like Big or someone like Richard. You know, I thought of Richard, and then he popped up later.
Uh-huh.
But
that's exactly it, I think, what you're saying. I don't think it's got anything to do with Smith specifically. She just misses being with powerful men, because she's dated a lot of them. And she's a powerful woman herself. And I feel like she thrives with other powerful men, because to her, it's also kind of like a battle, right? And she wants to win.
Yeah, but she knows what comes with the powerful men.
Yeah, she does. But sometimes when you've been away from it for a while, you look back with rose-tinted glasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you miss it. And she's, like, clearly a bit bored and dissatisfied with Smith. I like Smith a lot. I have a lot of time for him. I can't really see anything wrong with him at all. But they're clearly in very different stages of their lives, right?
Yeah.
So I could see why she was saying that, even though, yes, it was unfair, but I could see where she was coming from.
So we see Carrie Google Alexandra. Google looks a lot different than I know now. And she finds a link with all his exes, and she goes through it. Carrie says, according to scientists, whenever a woman has sex, her body produces a chemical which causes her to emotionally attach. This chemical might also account for the terrifying questions that involuntarily pop into our minds, like, does he like me? Will he call? Where is this all going? And when it comes to men, even when we try to keep it light, how do we wind up in the dark? The floor is yours.
I have nothing to say.
Really?
I was just, I don't know. This question didn't do much for me, I can't lie to you. It gave me the vibes of like, yeah, you're just trying to make it fit into the episode. That's how I got it, I can't lie to you. And I felt like they've actually been on a run, like especially with the last set of episodes we did, where the questions were relevant to me. And I thought, okay, the questions are getting better. But this one left me completely cold. I was just like, okay.
I'm on the other side. I think it does make sense, but I think it's also, I mean, when you do six seasons in, I think it's like a variation of a question that they probably asked before. And it reminded me of the conversation where we had, where you just got to know who you are, like what kind of person you are when it comes to men. So my interpretation of the question is like, even when you try to keep it light or casual, how do we wind up? I don't know why they said the dark, but it's basically the myriad of confusion where you're trying to figure out what are we, who are we, is this a situationship? But I think the answer to the question is you wind up in the dark when you're not clear about who you are and what you want. Like we said, Carrie is a relationship girl. Trying to do the casual thing, you're setting yourself up for failure. Someone like Samantha, she can just fuck him and then be gone the next day. Someone like Charlotte, oh my God, what are we doing? Is the next day is to be proper. You need to know who you are. Don't try to pretend like you can get a lover. And the next day, Carrie's neurotic.
Yeah.
Like on a base level, she's neurotic. So that's how you end up in the dark. So yeah, that was my answer to the question.
Okay. See, but I think it's a good answer. But I also feel like it's you filling in gaps to the question that they didn't provide. That they could have asked it better, if that's what they meant.
I think she set it up well. I mean, oh God, am I defending Carrie? Because when she set it up by saying all the things of the chemical might account for the terrifying questions, and they specifically said, does he like me? Will he call? Where are we going? What are we doing? So I think it was pretty, when we try to keep it light, that was very clear. But then how do we end up in the dark? I think that could mean like the darkness of confusion where you don't know what's going on because you can't see what's happening. Okay. Yeah. So Smith is inviting Samantha to a party. I mean, this poor guy is just jumping on the bed to get the invitation and Samantha is irritated by it. And she's making faces. And he's like, it's a top 30 under 30 party. And would he like to come? Would she like to come? And she's like, eh, no, that he can go have fun. And then he says, okay, can you humor me and just look at the invite and just tell me how shitty it is? He looks at it and we see that it's hosted by Richard from her past. And she sees it and she goes, it's not shitty at all. But, you know, in fact, I want to go to the party. So Charlotte is telling a lady, I can't get pregnant again for 2 months. And the lady's like, so you said. So meaning that Charlotte has been saying it for hours and hours. And we find out that she's trying to volunteer with the visually impaired. So I guess she did follow through with that. The lady's like, it's not as easy as you think it is. Like, you need to go practice and you need to try it with a friend. Go to a store and let them lead you around to be blindfolded. I don't know if I got this because I'm like, if she's the one helping, shouldn't she?
She wanted to give Charlotte some perspective. On how it's like to actually be blind, because I think Charlotte was being ridiculous personally. Because you're walking with Anthony in the park, you see a blind man, and then you're like, oh, I should go help the needy, like to give me a bit of perspective. I feel like you're not doing it for the right reasons. She's treating them as charity cases, and then she has been rambling to this woman that she's there because she needs a distraction while she waits to try and get pregnant again, because that's actually her primary obsession. So this can do until she's ready to try again. That's what she was basically telling the woman.
Yeah.
So I feel like the woman was trying to give her some perspective, like, this isn't a joke thing. Like, people are blind. If you're going to be their guide, you have to be able to put yourself in their shoes. That's how I took it.
No, that's true. I just thought that she would be practicing, like, when she goes with the friend would be the one in the blindfold, and she'll be seeing, like, how difficult it is to tell someone to navigate. Like when you say left, right, you take it for granted that you can't just say left, right. It's not as easy as go left, go right. So she can observe from the role that she's going to be playing, not necessarily her being blindfolded. But I can see both sides.
Yeah, but you're saying you're going to be directing them left, right. It's not as easy, but you won't appreciate that until you have your sight taken away, right?
Yeah.
Like, really appreciate it. So yeah, I feel like we're kind of getting to the same point, but I think she was just trying to force some empathy on her to see what it's like to actually be in their shoes.
Yeah, I can see that. So she picks Carrie to do this with, and they're at the mall, and specifically in Barney's. And Carrie's asking Charlotte, like, where can this relationship with Alexander go? And Charlotte is like, I thought you didn't want it to go anywhere. She's like, yeah, that's before I slept with him. I'm like, you're like 38. Oh my God. So she puts on the blindfold on Charlotte, and then Carrie gets a call from Alexandra. Well, I'm calling him Alex because she's been calling him that. And the
He
receptionist.
introduced himself as Alex, by the way, when he, I think on his, when he called her, he said hi as Alex, so.
Okay. So the reception is bad, and she needs to go somewhere where she has better reception. And she leaves Charlotte there and was like, I'll be right back. Because, of course, what else is Carrie going to do? You came for a thing, and a man calls, and she's dropping everything. So she leaves Charlotte right there and says, don't move, just stand there. And then she comes back, and Charlotte is just walking around in her blindfold. And to me, it's just annoying because, like, just take it off and wait for Carrie. I mean, I know you're practicing, but wait till Carrie gets there so you don't make an ass of yourself. And she's running around and hitting stuff, and people are hitting her. And then she runs into shoes, and then she realized that she needs to remove her blindfold. And the voiceover is that she had no idea where she was going in Barney's or in life, which I was like, ouch. But even if you're not sure of your direction, you can find your way to something wonderful. I don't know what that meant, but then we
Yeah.
just she looks up and then she sees that Carrie is buying shoes. And Carrie's like, I promise I looked for it. Oh, Carrie's so
So is
selfish.
Carrie the something wonderful? Like, be serious.
I guess, but my brain refused to accept that. But she's just like, I promise I looked and I looked and I was like, well, maybe it's better that you come to me. And I'm like, these two are not serious. This is how you know,
No.
like, this is not anything that's important to them. And Carrie doesn't take anything seriously, anyways. So she's kept buying shoes, and the salesman is fitting the shoes on her, and he is no one but our Bravo Lord and Savior, our daddy, our Bravo Daddy, Andy Cohen, that was putting the shoes on her.
Oh, was.
Yes, it was.
Do you know the funny thing? I actually rewound that scene because I wanted to see what shoes they were. And I was like, oh, they look dated. And I looked at him twice, the man. And I did not think, oh, that's Andy Cohen. It looks nothing like he does now.
So everybody listening, if you ever wanted to tag like what our personalities are, this is it exactly. We both rewound it. She to find out what shoes they were. I didn't give a fuck what shoes. I don't even know what color it was. I could not tell you. I'm rewinding to make sure. Oh my God, is that my reality show Zaddy right there? That is my interest. That is her interest. This is
I'm so sorry, I
disgusting.
didn't even think about that. Because Karen was holding Louis, and I was trying to see what shoes were on the display that were on sale that
I
Charlotte.
promise I could not even describe anything about the shoes. I was just looking like, I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, is that Andy? How do I not know that Andy's been on the show? And I'm looking, yeah. So yeah, to a T. That is
You know,
not
I
my
just
opinion.
Googled it and decoded Sex and City. Well, it really is him. I was looking at Carrie's shoes.
I
I was like,
noticed
oh,
that, but
that's
did
some
not
nice
say it really
jewelry.
is him. I would not miss Andy. Like, I am so obsessed with Andy. And let me share my quick story of meeting him. I know everything about it. It's better now. It's so much better. But I was used to be so obsessed with him back in the day. And I was like, this is my job. He's living my life. We'll be so great friends. And I used to read all of his books every time they came out. And I was going to St. Louis for a wedding, and he's from there. And my friend dropped me off at the airport, and I was like, man, Andy's in town. I wonder where he is and stuff like that. So I'm standing in line. They have a weird airport and trying to check in. this man behind me is so loud and just yelling in front of someone in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God, why is this man so loud? And I turn around and it's Andy. And I nearly shit my pants. I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm looking in his, what's that thing you put all your stuff in the airport? The little, yeah, the bin mm-hmm. and stuff. And I see an inhaler. I'm like, oh my God, he's asthmatic. That's what I picked out of everything. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? And so I turn around and I blacked out. I don't know what I said. I might have said, I love you. I'm like, I really like, I don't know what I said. I babbled and he said, thank you. I appreciate it. Then we're going and I'm like, I should probably take a picture. But what do? He's going through the security. So we go and I'm like, if he goes left with me, I'll ask. If he goes right, then I'll let it go. He went right and I never asked. Got a picture. And I never got one, so it's okay.
At least you met him, though.
Huh?
At least you met him.
Yeah, I did. I mean, and I saw him again at BravoCon last year and all that. I don't know. I didn't get a close up picture, but yeah. But I met him at the height of when I was so obsessed. Now I'm not as obsessed. Like, I appreciate all that he does for my reality show life, but yeah. So that was it. But yeah. Anyways, that was that. But Sarah Jessica Parker and Andy Cohen are very good friends right now. And I thought maybe they met through the show, but they didn't. They met when he worked at CBS. But they usually go to the Met Gala together, and they have dinner.
Wait, so they met, they became friends after the scene, not before?
I don't know the I don't know the timing, because I was checking, and I think it was after. Because he also, well, that's not true. Sorry, because he wanted to be on Sex and the City earlier. And he did a read and it didn't work out. Apparently he's been on Sex and the City as an extra when that guy that was the shoe guy, when she met him, he was an extra on there, whatever. So I don't know the timing if he got this because of her or after, but they've been friends for a long time. So
I mean, he didn't say anything even though.
No,
he was still an extra.
He's a terrible actor too. So even with this, he did too much. He does a lot of head cocking to the so anyway, so Smith and Samantha are in line for the party, and Smith doesn't want to cut the line. Honestly, I'll be irritated too. Like, why the hell are we staying in line when you have clout? Sam is irritated. She's like, we should just cut the line like I told you. And he's all, no, I don't want to get out of here.
Yeah,
they go up front and he's like, Smith, Jared, and like the guy's like, oh my God, and checks him in, and he turns to Sam, is like, and you are, I'm like, oh wow. And then we hear Richard say Samantha Jones, and then he lets her in, and then he did not let Smith in, and Samantha's like, he's with me. So they go to the bar, and people are flocking towards Smith, and Richard is like, so how long have you been babysitting? I'm like, how rude. And then they start flirting and having conversation, and Smith comes by, and then he's like, how do you know each other? And Samantha says, I thought she was going to lie, but she didn't. She's like, we used to go out.
Yeah. It's not really her style to lie, though, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Who knows? But when she gives advice, she would tell someone why. He doesn't have to know.
Yeah.
Just keep it moving. So, yeah. So then some girls come and they're like, oh my God, Smith, you have to come. Like, Polly is snorting pretzels out of his nose and all that stuff. It doesn't even sound like something that Smith would be interested in, but... okay, they're really trying to drive it home that he's very childish, I guess.
Honestly, he didn't look interested either. They dragged him off.
He didn't. Like, Smith is like, for all that he is, he knows himself. Because when Richard says, do you want a drink? And he's like, no, I'm an A. Like, that's just where I am. And that's just, you know, what it is. And it was just funny because I remember earlier, Carrie was like, he's almost 30. Like, so it's not even like, oh, she is 45. I was gonna be like, he's just 8 years. They're 30, she's 45.
That's what says Samantha's Alexander's age mate, but anyway.
So he leaves with them, and then we move back to Steve and Miranda. Steve is moving in, and they walk out because all his stuff is just packed up outside the elevator. And they walk out to see that his TV is broken and there's something in there. And Miranda does this dramatic. This whole scene was annoying because it went theatrical real quick.
Yeah.
And she gasped so loudly. I was like, oh my God, it's Robert. Steve is like, nah, it's not possible. But Miranda's like, no, he's in love with me. Like, he's going to do this. So Steve is like, all right, this has gone too far. I'm going to go take care of things. And Miranda's all like, be kind. He's in love with me. I'm like, ugh.
See, I was thrown off by that whole he's in love with me acting as well, because I'm like, are they going for like tongue-in-cheek, self-aware, borderline slapstick, or is it just bad acting? And I couldn't put my finger on it because the tone was so inconsistent with the rest of the episode. Because I could see that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
But it was just a bit all up in the air. I didn't know what they were doing.
I don't think it was bad acting because she's a good actress. But yeah. I think that they were trying to make it all soap opera-ish and stuff and exaggerated. But I'm like, but why? Like, Miranda's not an idiot. So, but anyways. So Steve goes upstairs and he knocks on Robert's door. And as he's there, one woman walked by and another woman walked by. I just like to point out that neither of them were white, because Robert is like, I'm not doing this shit again.
One was black, one was Asian.
So Steve says, I just got to say, we're sorry. I'm sorry. We're both sorry. And then that was that. He goes back downstairs, and then Miranda was like, and then he tells Miranda that he won't be bothering them anymore. And Miranda was like, how was it? And he was like, and there was a voiceover or something about he decided to leave her in the dark and to be kind. I don't know. It was very stupid. So Carrie goes to see Alex, and he welcomes her with wooden shoes and just puts them out, you know, before he shows his face. And then we see Richard leading Samantha towards the elevators. This was so choppy, by the way, because if they're going to the party and then Carrie's back on Wednesday and then Steve is moving on Wednesday, ordinarily Miranda is at work with everything. So I think we're just supposed to suspend all belief on whatever time it was, because apparently it's nighttime with Richard, but daytime with the rest. So yeah. Richard is leading Samantha towards the elevators, and Smith comes by asking, hey, where are you going? And she goes, he's showing me his remodeled suites. Like, you know, Smith has to go. And he was like, oh, can I come? And then she's like, no, that it was fun, but where exactly is this going? And then Richard opens the elevator and is like, gorgeous. And she's like, go play with your friends and I'll go play with mine. And then she goes into the elevator. It was so heartbreaking. Like, Smith was so bad.
For Smith.
So bad. And then the next thing, we see Richard and Samantha having sex in the bathroom, and Samantha does not seem into it at all. And you have to know how rare that is. It was to the point where it was uncomfortable. Like, Richard, how do you not notice that this girl is not about that going on right now? And he's going on about 2 years ago, he was on top of the world, and now he's at the low of his lows and throwing these parties, but he can come on top again and all that. So I don't know if we're supposed to have any more meaning. I don't know if you got anything out of that.
I don't know. I felt very disappointed in Samantha. I'll be very honest with you. Yeah. Because I'm just like, look how this man did you and how you left him eventually, which was great. And now you're right back here, and you did it in such a cruel way to a man who's done nothing to you. Do you know? I don't know. I just felt disappointed in her.
But yeah. Things happen. Yeah. So we see Samantha come out looking very sad, and she's actually tearing up. Samantha does not cry. Mm-hmm. And she's tearing up in the elevator, and then she steps out, and Smith is just sitting there, and he's like, I just wanted to make sure that you got home safe. And I'm like, oh. And then Samantha says she doesn't know what's wrong with her, and she hates herself for doing this to him. And he holds her and says, like, it's okay. And I have a couple of thoughts on this. I don't know how realistic this is. I don't know how many men are going to be sitting there for you to finish sleeping with another man. And, oh, it's okay. Let's go home. But it's Sex in the City, so let's just roll with it. But he goes also, back.
Don't you think it's in Smith's character, though?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But maybe realistic isn't the word I should use. I don't know how much that is the norm.
Yeah.
He's a unicorn in that regard.
I don't know. Looking at that scene, obviously it's not like an everyday occurrence, but I don't think it's out of the norm. Because I have, like, you know, heard people whose partners do take them back after cheating. And yeah, and sometimes I just feel it's like how many people know, and more people take them back than you'd think as well. But yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But I think what I'm specific about is like, how many people are going to sit there and wait for your woman to finish having sex with somebody, and then you come back, and then you lead her to take home? Like, literally, you can smell the sex off of her because she just came out the elevator and just finished with this guy. That's
I
a
definitely had that thought. I can't lie. Like, damn, she
lot.
just finished and you guys are hugging. But yeah, that I can see. But I don't think it's out of Smith's character at all to take her.
Yeah, that's true. He operates different. But yeah, it brings me back to, if we have any listeners who listen to Altar Call and are listening here, they're familiar with a bride on the show this season. And a couple of episodes, they're asking her, how do you define a man? And it's arbitrary. It's different things. One minute she says it's carrying grocery bags. One minute it's fixing things around the house. One minute is making me feel safe. And everybody has this thing of what a man should be. And I think that's what happened with Samantha. You said very accurately, like, she's used to these power players and these men and, you know, whatever, these business guys or whatever. But for Smith, he's finding him with his way. But a man is realizing that you have an addiction, doing something about it, and staying true to the course with AA and not trying to go back to that. Being true to, even though it was like Foolsworthy, where he's like, no, I like acting. That's what I want to do, and that's what I want to pursue, knowing what you want, being proud of your woman, being there for you, being committed to her. These are all things of a man, but everyone seems to think like being a man is this, I don't know what it is, and it's usually just, and then it's not appreciated. And I think that's where Samantha fucked up real bad.
Don't trigger me. Now I'm thinking of flipping Jackie and Marshall from Love is Blind, but anyway. Oh, God.
So the voiceover says, even in the dark, he could still see Samantha, and for the first time, she saw him. Then we see Carrie and Alex in bed, and he tells her that he has work to do in the studio. I just made a note that this background music is driving me nuts because he came on again. And
It's
then she,
crazy because I did not pay
oh
attention
my
to
God,
it
please
at
do me a
all.
favor and just go back and just put any scene of them and you hear it and you'll be like, oh, that's what you were talking about. So she says it was at that moment she realized that she was not comfortable in Loverville. She's not that kind of Google. I'm like, what the fuck? Get out of here with this word plays that don't make any sense. You could easily have just said, I'm not that kind of girl. What has Google got to do with this?
Did you also notice earlier in the episode she said google.com and it made me laugh so much? Because I'm like, oh, this is still new.
So Carrie goes to the studio. She dresses up, goes to the studio, and walks in when he doesn't answer. And she's like, oh, I'm heading out. And he goes, okay, cool, I'll call you tomorrow. She says, yeah, it's been lovely, but she's not cut out for this. And he's like, cut out for what? And this woman says, pancakes, other ladies, they're not for me. You've basically created a whole story in your head, not had a conversation with this man. And the man says, they're pancakes, but there are no other ladies. It's not about a quick bang. I'm like, well, I guess a classy man like Alexander can't say fast fuck. So he says quick bang, that he just likes her. And then Carrie says, why me? And I want to pause a little, and I asked this, I don't know why I'm stuttering. And I thought about this question, like, why does Carrie go for men who make her feel inferior? Because I put Alexander and Big in the same category. They make her feel like she's not good enough to be with them. So then why do
But
it?
I don't think Alexander's doing that. Big does, but Carrie's doing it to herself in
No, when I
Alexander's
say they
face.
make her feel, I mean she.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you
They're not,
meant
yeah,
they
purpose.
were. Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Because even with Big, though, in the beginning, like, it's just what it was before we found out he was an asshole. She already felt like out of his league, or whatever. So these are the kind of men that Samantha is looking for. And these are the men she goes for. And all she does is question herself. Because why would you say, why me? Like, Samantha would never. Why not me? It's what Samantha will say. But you can
That
tell
whole
that.
scene pissed me off because she was looking up pictures like of his dating history. And I was like, what does that have to do with now? And instead of being an adult and asking him if he's dating anyone else, she made it to be like, oh, you and your other women. I'm like, you're being childish. Just talk to him like a normal person. You're both very grown adults, you know?
That's our Carrie. She don't talk about stuff. So, but I mean, he gave the smoothest answer he could give. He was like, well, why me? And I was like, because you're Alexander. Because
you own a whole floor, which again, sorry, sometimes floor. I don't want to call her a gold digger, but I do feel like she definitely turned up when she saw that he owned the whole floor. So, I'm sorry. Because even, sorry, to go back when she even started giving him a chance to talk to her, it was because Charlotte told him he was this amazingly famous person.
Yep.
So, yep. Sorry, she's also chasing the power. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I feel. It's like, is it to convince yourself, like, I can pull this kind of people.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I am or whatever. I don't know. But these are the things that would never be explored in Sex and the City. So, never. Make of it.
Like, there's so much you could say. Like, even compared to how her relationship with Berger went, whereas two people in the same industry, she's doing a lot better than him. I feel like there's so much that could have been said with that. But, yeah, we know what type of show we're watching, so.
Yeah, and you can tell the demeanor is so different. Who she was with Berger was not who she is with Big or with Alexander or anything. She kind of goes into her shell. With Berger, she knew she had the upper hand, so to speak. Yeah. And she was, you know, when she was dating Aiden, he's a furniture maker. So to her, she's like, okay, I'm comfortable. That's not a power play.
Exactly. Even though he was successful, he doesn't give off the aura. He does that whole down home, you know, casual. Yeah.
Exactly.
Even, do you remember when she dated that Justin Theroux character as well? I felt like it was see, we could write proper deep stuff into the show, but that's not what they're giving us.
So, yeah, so that's how the episode ends, and I think it was a decent premiere. They did Charlotte wrong, but maybe it's a setup, but yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's good.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to add?
Nope, that was it.
Can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, guys, you can find us at The Rewatch Times 2. That's TheRewatchX2. Our handle on Twitter, on Instagram, and you can send us an email with that handle, just add@gmail.com.
And please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts, particularly on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. Thank you guys so much again for listening. Thank you for sending us messages, comments, all of that. Thank you. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.